Welcome to the Arise Shine podcast with Pastor Glenn Schleck. Today's episode, as well as every weekly episode, will feature teachings from the Bible from Pastor Glenn. If you have any questions about any of the messages or you'd like to contact us, please do so at rdugall@emmanuelloveland.org. God bless you as you continue to grow in Jesus.
Chaos. Is that a word that any of you here today would use to describe life right now? Either your own life or life in the world that we're living in? Let that turn over just a little bit. We'll come back to that in a few minutes. But chaos as a reality has been around since, honestly, the very beginning of creation. And oftentimes, throughout the scriptures, what's associated with chaos is water. We get that in the very opening verses of Genesis 1. Listen to this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty, or another way that we could translate that would be to say, now the earth was chaos. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. This idea of formless, empty, void, darkness are all ways to describe what was at the very beginning a watery chaos. Now, God deployed his word to bring some order to the chaos. Day two of creation, we're told that God created the sky. And what he did, and some translations have it this way, that God separated the waters above from the waters below. The creation of sky and the boundaries that he put in place for the water that allowed for this open space in between where life could flourish. And so in this space between the boundaries of the waters above and the waters below, God filled it with life. As creation went on, he created land. Plants, trees, birds, land animals, and then the crown of his creation, Adam and Eve. And through all of that, bringing some order to the chaos. Now, it wasn't long, but after the fall, when Adam and Eve chose to transgress the boundaries that God had set in place, not just boundaries for the waters, but boundaries for life with his law, with his word, out of love for Adam and Eve and for all of humankind, they transgressed that. They went beyond that boundary and did what they wanted to do, as opposed to what God had commanded. They ate from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And from that juncture, the waters started to take on a far more ominous tone. The world and humanity continued to spin further and further and further into chaos and darkness and wickedness. That's where today's Old Testament reading from Genesis chapters 7 through 9 comes into play, with Noah, the ark, and the flood. Because of the horrific wickedness and depravity that humanity had spun down into, it was absolutely deplorable, terrible, what was going on. And because of that, God chose to remove the boundaries that he had set in place on day two. And he unleashed the waters on the world. Now, I've always had a hard time envisioning how that looked, because what we're told, as Kimberly read for us, the waters and the flood were not only the rain that came down out of the sky, but we're told the waters broke from the depths, from the great depths of the earth. And I've never been able to picture how that would look until I saw the 2014 movie Noah. Now, I've got a very short clip. It's about 30 seconds is all. And the point of this is just to give us a visual of what had to have been unimaginable chaos and destruction and death when God took those boundaries away and let the watery chaos return. Let's watch just to take it in. Hard to fathom, isn't it? Now, as a quick sidebar, I do not recommend this movie. It's really weird. And it really does not follow the biblical account even closely. So don't have to watch it. But this visual depiction of the flood, that's the best that I've ever seen. So we take that little grain for what it's worth. Thinking about water, where else does water play into our world? I want you to think. We've got water throughout the scriptures, from the very beginning, again, the opening verses, all the way through the end, Revelation 22. And it's very much a part of our lives. So I want to give you a moment to think about this. As always, if you're comfortable talking with the people around you, brainstorm a little bit. What are some of those prominent places that we hear about water, both in its destructive, chaotic nature, as well as the life-giving aspect of water? Okay, take a moment, please. All right, so what comes to mind? What are you talking about? Where does water play prominently? In the Bible, in our lives, where? Bailey.
I think of Elijah. Dump 7 jugs of water on it, he'll still burn it up.
Okay, nice. Elijah in his battle with the Baal prophets and dumped gallons and gallons of water on his sacrifice and God still burned it up. All right, where else do we have water? Gail.
The Colorado River and water shortages and water litigation and how precious water is.
Yeah, out here locally, you got the Colorado River. Water, not necessarily rationing, but how scarce it is. And the whole idea of water rights, that was foreign to me coming from Wisconsin when I showed up. It's like, water rights? What are water rights? But yeah, precious commodity out here. Where else? Water. Lindy?
The biblical significance of the stories of the Red Sea and the Jordan River.
Okay, we've got the Red Sea being parted. Huge, right? Israelites going across safely. We've got the Jordan River, John the Baptist, so much else that plays into that throughout the New Testament. What else? Water. Rachel.
Jesus washing the feet of his disciples.
Nice. Jesus washing the feet of his disciples on that Maundy Thursday evening in the upper room. Others. Natalie. When Jesus turned water into wine at the wedding of Cana. Nice. Other places of water? Jackie? Nice. Jesus and the woman at the well going to draw water in that profound conversation around giving me a drink and living water and yeah, so much that is there. Biggie? Yeah, Jesus walking on the water and Peter getting a couple steps in before he went down. Yeah. Gene? Feeding the multitudes with fish from the water. Yeah. I mean, it's all over the place, right? It's all over the place. Both, and I find it fascinating that you've got this water and it's both destructive, chaotic, and life-giving. Let's bring this home, a little closer to home, because we're talking about, I started out asking the question, chaos. You know, is that a word you'd use to describe life right now? Take a moment to think about, and again, talk about, if you're comfortable doing this, the chaos. Chaos maybe in your own life, the chaos that we're seeing in our world right now. Okay? I'm going to go short on this one, about 30 seconds. So think about the chaos. Talk about the chaos. Go ahead. We don't need to think too long or too hard about this, do we? It's right there in front of us. Now, I'm not going to ask you to share this morning some of that because that so much of it is so very obvious. So let me just mention a couple things that likely came up in some of your thinking and in your conversations. The natural disasters that we have seen lately talk about chaos, whether it's the earthquakes, whether it's a hurricane, freezing cold temperatures, blizzard conditions, flooding, all of that. Chaos. We could talk the man-made stuff. The wars or the rumors of wars. The gun violence that we're seeing all around, seemingly every week. More shootings, mass shootings. We've got the drug cartel, drug addiction issues. We've got all sorts of not only addictions, but abuses that run the gamut that are awful, evil. Human trafficking. On and on it goes. Chaos. And that's to say nothing of the chaos that each of us may be experiencing in our own lives, in our own world, ranging from big chaos to little chaos as we try to sort our way through any given day. And there's so many people, and some Christians too, I think, that have this notion that, you know, if I'm baptized, if I'm a follower of Jesus, I shouldn't have any chaos in my life. And boy, I tell you what, that is a setup, a huge setup for some major problems. Because we can be sitting here in the sanctuary. Maybe you walked in, maybe you're looking around, and you're thinking, wow, everybody's got it together, except me, living in my chaotic mess. Or we think, well, the church is just this calm, peaceful place of serenity. That's a problem-free zone. It's an issue-free zone. Not on this side of eternity. You see, the problem with that is we can get into that mindset that is very parallel to the issues of social media. And we can think, wow, you know, as I look around, I don't belong here. Not with my mess. You know, all these people have it together and I just don't fit. It doesn't make sense for me to be here. But folks, that is totally wrong. And not only is it wrong, it is unbiblical, and it is a lie. We're in the battle of our lives. Through the waters of baptism, we have been literally, and pun intended, we have been literally immersed into this battle, into the struggle, into the fight, into the chaos. The devil is not going to leave us alone just because we're baptized, just because we're followers of Jesus. In fact, the truth is just the opposite is the reality. Because we're baptized, and precisely because we are followers of Jesus, the devil is going to come at us with guns blazing, with full force, and everything he can throw our way. Because his desire is to do nothing but create chaos, to try to pull the rug out from under us, to discourage us, cause us to try to lose hope or to steal our joy. The chaos that we have to deal with all around us, inside of us, it's real. It is real. I don't have to tell you that. The chaos swirling around us, it's all evidence of the brokenness of this sin-filled world in which we are living. And there are times that we're the chaos. Chaos even swirling inside of us, that we sometimes are the ones who cause chaos in other people's lives. Temptations we fall to, bad decisions that we make, paths that we travel down that we really shouldn't. Being angry at how unfair life may seem. The death of a loved one. Or all sorts of physical or mental or emotional issues that we have to deal with. And that's where our series, Honest Repentance, has to come into play. As followers of Jesus, we have to be honest. We have to be honest with ourselves, with God, with each other. Now, that doesn't mean that we pour out all of our deepest problems and issues to anybody that we're sitting next to or walking by. You know, discretion is advised. That, you know, depending on the level of your relationship, but we still need to be real. We need to be honest. Let's go back to the waters of our baptism. What Peter was saying in that second reading for today, he takes us back and uses Noah and the flood as an example. And he tells us with certainty, verses 20 and 21 in that second reading, that just as Noah and his family were saved through water, that this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. And then to be crystal clear, just to make sure we don't miss this, he goes on to say that it's not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism, it's not just washing dirt off. It's washing us, heart, mind, providing us a clear conscience toward God. And it is in baptism that we are connected to the power source of what brings us everything we need. We are connected in baptism to Jesus' resurrection, to the cross, and to the empty tomb. That's what brings power to baptism. That's what allows us the clear conscience before God. It's Jesus. Jesus, who is here to help bring order through the chaos that we're living with. It's in Jesus that we find forgiveness. It's in Jesus that we can find a clear conscience. It's in Jesus that we find love and grace and acceptance. And it's in Jesus that we have hope. And it's in Jesus that we have life. So in this season of honest repentance, it's okay, and even good, I would say, to acknowledge the fact that we are sometimes overwhelmed by the forces of sin and evil that are going on all around us. And it's okay and even good to acknowledge that our lives can be overwhelmed by the chaos that we're living in sometimes. But we can't stop there. We acknowledge that, which is good. But we also have to go on to acknowledge, remember, and accept the promises that we have from God in His Word. A Word that brings life. A Word that brings hope. It is that which leads us then to honest repentance. And through that honest repentance to live lives that are not burdened, that are not overly difficult, but to lead lives as followers of Jesus, lives that are filled with joy and hope and life. The what now for today? It's on your Bring It Home insert, also up on the screen. Holding this out for you guys this week. This week, acknowledge but do not fear the chaos in your life and in our world. Mark yourself with a sign of the cross when you get out of bed or out of the shower or as you get ready to start your day to remind yourself who you are, a baptized, beloved child of God. And I want to close with just a couple of verses from Psalm 46 that take us into the chaos and also out of the chaos with a reminder of who our God is. Psalm 46. The waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. We will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. And that peace of God, a peace that at times goes beyond our understanding, let it guard our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus, today and always. Amen.